Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
And 603-283-6160, that's 603-283-6160 is the phone number you can call to bring up whatever is on your mind. And social.freetalklive.com is back online. We apologize for the delay, but now you are free to resume posting to our Mastodon server at social.freetalklive.com. Mastodon is free, open source, decentralized, and federated. Multiple apps are available for iOS, Android, Windows, Mac, and Linux. Social.freetalklive.com if you're interested. With you in the studio tonight here on Free Talk Live, it's me, Bonnie.
Jay.
And Chris.
And we were getting into this list made by GraniteStateMatters.org targeting the Free State Project, which is just a compliment. It just means that people in the Free State Project are making a difference.
Well,
and
here's what I feel they're actually trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
What I think these guys are actually trying to do is they are trying to create a list. Now, anybody on this list who has run for office, it is very, very simple. And I'm sure these people have all of our addresses, everybody's mm-hmm. address. They have it. And so it's just anybody who, you know, it is really like a just 30 seconds, maybe 3 minutes if you're as illiterate as me with a keyboard and the internet to finding out an address of anybody on here. And so I believe what this is to do is to trigger some mentally ill, you know, extremist left people to try to maybe go do some kind of violence to the people on this list.
I just think that they wouldn't because they're going to assume that we all have 100 guns.
Well, no, these people are stupid.
I mean, the other problem is this list is already so large. I mean, the risk of being on it is basically zero as far as, like...
The only thing I would say that is, like, risky is the fact that they put Carla Garrick on and wrote, "Espouses violence."
Yeah, I mean, it's just a lie.
Is a lie, and it's actually asking... That's putting in some crazy leftist head, if you go do violence to her, it's fine. She espouses violence.
So there are nutbags out there that are looking for a reason to go do violence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got the mentally ill, transgender, whatever, you know, mass shooters, for example, or, you know, they identify with all that leftist radical nonsense crap. And then you have, you got plenty of mentally ill people, you know, just and a lot of them identify on the left. In fact, the mental illness is extremely high with leftist women. It is very high.
SSRIs.
Whatever, just in general. And you have a lot of young men in this country who that they're not getting laid. A lot of them are identifying either very much to the right or very much to the left. And the example has been, if you are someone who is on the left and you go do crimes that are, you know, essentially in line with the leftist narrative, Kamala Harris is going to, you know, ask for you to get bailed out and is going to advocate for you to get bailed out, as she did with the people peacefully burning and torching cities in 2020.
Which is so weird because she went so hard after just like any old black guy who smoked weed in California during her time as the AG.
Right. It's all about the narrative. It's just all about the narrative, whatever it is. I mean, I remember when people that were called themselves Democrats were anti-war. I mean, you know, but there's probably people listening to me that, like, really, that happened?
Yeah, I don't know if the Democrats were ever anti-war. Like, I mean, the actions of the Democrats are basically the same as the Republicans.
I'm just saying the actual, like, Democrat, you know, grassroots people on the ground, not ones who are actually politicians. I knew these guys, and I used to go do these anti-war things, and it was basically a whole bunch of Bernie bros, and you know, they were all registered Democrats that were anti-war, you know, 15, 20 years ago, and now, you know, they're very much pro-war, and even some of these guys think that they're not pro-war, as they're, you know, demanding that Ukraine be funded with a bunch of bombs to, you know, kill other people, but since there's white people killing white people, they're probably cool with it. But anyways, the thing is, this is just part of a narrative to push a divide, and anybody who's going to buy this crap, who is part of this cult, and this is a cult right here, this Granite State progressives, and much as most of the Democrats in the New Hampshire House are straight up legit cult members. They believe they even are such cult members that they are like demanding that everybody be forced to take this poison that they're calling the COVID-19 vaccine that is not tested, and they even demand that people like give their kids all these vaccines that are in a child vaccine, you know, whatever, you know, recommended thing. None of those have the gold standard test, double placebo test. They haven't passed a test for like what would be required for FDA licensing. And so we know, like the Jim Jones cult, you know, a bunch of people drank Kool-Aid that they knew was poison. So you have like people who are literally recommending that their cult followers, you know, take these, you know, untested poisons. And it's just, I mean, I could go on about this forever, but you have a bunch of radical, you know, unhinged nut jobs that, you know, are cry and throw fits because we're like, hey, you know, you can't chop the testicles off of young boys just because, you know, one of their parents convinced them that they're a girl for some reason.
Or just being a liberty forum speaker got Olu Axman, one of the callers on this list. I just pulled up like a list of what makes something a cult, and I totally believe that like the leftists in New Hampshire fall under this. One, absolute authoritarianism without accountability. They are complete bumbles in everything they do, and their followers are just like, whatever, yeah, we listen to them because we gotta vote left.
You know what I think of when I think of, you know, and I don't know if this is as much applicable more broadly here with the left, but I've definitely seen in Keen there is Stop Free Keen, and that's like a hate group,
yeah,
I think by definition.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about people who have committed to actual violence against Keeniacs or people in Keene.
There's video footage of an Emerson tow truck driver literally threatening to beat somebody with a pipe for videotaping him, and the cop who's a cult member, along with this Emerson tow truck driver. Now, Emerson Towing is a towing company here that gets paid handsomely for, you know, towing cars that people didn't pay, that people got a parking ticket they didn't pay.
Mm-hmm.
And Keen of Robin Hood of Keen put a huge dent in their business, or they at least saw Keen of Robin, you know, Robin Hooding as a serious threat. And then the city goes through and spends hundreds of thousands of dollars of taxpayers' money to try to sue these Robin Hooders on a lawsuit that went nowhere. Because they're all a bunch of cult members, but literally, this guy is like, he's like, I will beat you. He basically says to the cameraman or do something. I don't remember what it was.
Was it like TJ or James?
It was like 10, 12 years ago.
I don't even know if it was any of them.
Might not have even been a Free Stater or a Keeniac or anybody who identifies with, you know, liberty and freedom. It could have been just some random dude.
Yeah.
But I saw the video where the guy's like, I will beat you. And he's like, why are you stealing this car? How come you're taking this car? And there's a cop right there, and the cop is just laughing as the tow truck driver threatens to beat him. And I actually called Emerson Towing's insurance indemnification company.
Nice.
I actually called Emerson Towing and they were like, the lady was on the phone was a real jerk. So I just contacted the Secretary of State's office. Hey, I'm looking for this company, blah, blah, blah. I want their bond thing, this, that, and the other thing. So she gave me all the information, the lady on the phone. I called up the insurance company, and I sent them an email. And in the email, I put the link to the video, and I asked them if they are indemnifying Emerson Towing employees, if their employees are you going to use violence against people?
Okay.
Do you insure them for that?
Hmm.
And the insurance company is like, no, we definitely don't do that. And I'm like, well, check this out. I hope their insurance, hope they had to pay more for insurance because.
That's such a great, like, free market way to do that. Like, instead of, like, going and calling the cops and being like, hey, cops, do something about this. Go to their insurance.
And what got me into this is on Facebook, the Stop Free Keen, I'm like, because I wasn't even living here at the time, and I'm like, what is wrong with these people? Why would they? Who would want to stop freedom? Oh, and if you look at one at their like picture, there was like a dozen people, and like nine of them either had an Emerson Towing hat or an Emerson Towing hoodie on, and and then I started looking at all the people who were like affiliated with this with their Facebook page, and it was like. And in their, like, work bio or whatever, you know, or companies or something, Emerson Towing's there.
Wow.
So if you stop, if you very much impede on parking tickets being issued, that is going to result in less cars out there being able to be snatched up because they have parking tickets out, and that's just what they do. These guys troll. You see their tow trucks, and they got the cameras on the hood. You ever see those? Mm-hmm. They're facing down at the ground, and they're trolling through, like, the Walmart parking lot or any of these parking lots out here. You see them over at Home Depot. They're just trolling around, and they're looking for a car to come up as either on the repo list or on the towing list because they didn't pay parking tickets or have outstanding something. And the reason I know about this is, one of the guys I worked with, as a teenager, they have a big towing company. Now they had a big towing company back then. And, right about when I was in high school, they were looking at spending like, you know, $50,000-$60,000 per truck to put this equipment on there to scan the, you know, it was like 1999, 2000 to scan license plates. And this company was like, yeah, if you're city towing, you can increase your revenue because you don't even have to run. Then they would manually, like in the old days, they would actually have a printout from the town, a paper printout. They would get faxed to them of cars. And if they wanted to go look around for license plates of cars that, on this list to be towed. And what they would do is they'd impound the car until you paid the ticket. And what was classic with the parking tickets, I don't know if it was Boston or Springfield, Mass., but there was a big lawsuit over it years ago. And this towing company, you know, this is one of their gigs that they would do, this towing company I worked for when I was a kid, is, you know, they would get reports or whatever. And they never bought the scanners because they just didn't, that was a lot of money. But the big towing companies did, the bigger ones. And they would run around and they would grab a car on like a Friday or even a Thursday. And this office was open from like 9 to 2 to where you could pay your parking ticket. So, like, a lot of working class people just couldn't get in there to pay a parking ticket. You had to take your day off of work to pay the parking ticket. And then what would happen is they would tow your car, and, like, it was really inconvenient to, like, go to the towing company and actually, like, pay for your towing. There would be all kinds of people at the towing company, but the secretary in a towing company was only there for, like, you know, these mother's banker's hours or something. So it was like the same thing. So you, like, had to take another day off of work by the time you went and got this done. And then they would, you know, whack you like $100 for taking the car, charge you $35 a day storage. So if your car got towed on Thursday night and you didn't get this thing squared up till Friday, well, everything's closed Saturday and Sunday, and you get there Monday, they charge you for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday for the storage of the car. And it actually got to the point to where, like, a lot of people just left their cars there because the bill got so expensive and maybe the car wasn't even worth dealing with. And
it's like, you could, like, increase your revenue doing that, but you're a bitch for the government you live by. They tell you what to do, and you just follow their orders at that point.
So Robin Hood of Keene was a serious threat to the towing companies locally, and that's where I believe Stop Free Keene came out of.
And that makes some sense.
That's interesting, because I've never even heard of a car getting towed in Keene.
Oh,
there's
sure.
definitely tow trucks here.
For tickets over parking tickets?
Nobody's Absolutely. Car got towed
over
like
a parking
last year.
Ticket?
Oh, over parking ticket, I don't know, but I don't know why it was towed.
They definitely tow over parking tickets.
I know his car was towed, but I don't think we understand what the circumstances of that towing were.
I didn't know you were saying it was over parking tickets. I don't know.
Well,
like,
that's what
you're
talking about,
that they,
parking tickets.
But you just said you didn't know cars got towed in Keene, so I answered that.
Over parking tickets.
But you didn't say that.
I understand. But he said parking tickets. That's
so
why
he's saying they do. I don't know. I just went and fought my parking ticket, so it didn't get to a point of being...
And there's all kinds of reasons they tow cars.
Yeah. No doubt. I just had never heard of that. Even though I obviously I'm sure they tow cars. Like if you park in a spot at a private lot and somebody would call them up and be like, hey, this guy's been here and he's not allowed. He's not a customer. And it said no customer or customer only parking. Yeah, I'm sure that would kind of.
Yeah, like New York City is a big thing towing cars because they.
Parking.
Well, for the parking tickets and also parking, you know, even they'll even tow them if, like, from what I understand, if the ticket's been on the car for more than X amount of hours.
Yeah.
Like in front of the meter.
Wow. The other thing about it is, like, it sounds like a great hypothesis for why they would hate free seaters, and you can never figure out how they would morally feel superior, and I bet a lot of them really don't. They just don't care about
morals.
They're
just parasites.
They're just, like, worried about something else that we aren't privy to, and that could be a great example. Like, maybe they all actually work for Emerson Towing, or maybe they are related to them in some way, and you're messing with their gig by fighting for freedom, whether it's like that exact situation, or there might be something else behind the scenes going on with, like you said, with the Croydon situation, how Jody and Jody and Ian Underwood, I think it was more, Ian and Jody was like there, but, Ian proposed, it was actually slashing the bill or the budget of their public schools in Croydon by 50%. I think I said 80 last time. And the town went so crazy going against them, putting this hate campaign against them, when it didn't make logical sense. Like, they definitely still had enough money to educate the kids. And then Jay said...
Well, yeah, the thing to back up and point out, though, here is it sounds crazy to drop it in half, but what you have to understand is that they were paying twice as much in, I believe, taxes towards the schools... than like what the norm is.
Yeah, exactly.
So it wasn't actually that crazy, and that's why the people originally voted in favor of it.
Right, it logically
makes
sense.
So it actually passed.
So you can't say, like, oh, these people are just, like, they have their heart on their sleeves and they care about kids. No, like, it logically made no sense. The kids were going to be fine, except, what was that you told us, Jay?
So when taxes are paid, taxes are apportioned now, the first thing that is serviced is pensions.
Hmm.
And so if you start digging into how much pension funding is going with, like, respect to the schools, the numbers I have been told is like 80% of the school tax is paying just the pensions. You start looking into how many people are collecting a pension from these school systems. Basically, you could take the number of people that are being employed in the school right now and probably multiply it times 5 or 6, and that's how many people are collecting a pension.
I don't know what it is in New Hampshire, right? But I know in New Jersey, if you retired at the top of the pay scale, which you probably will if you go through a full teaching career, right? Basically you're, and this was like, I don't know, maybe a decade ago, you basically would be making, and this doesn't include adjustments for inflation and such things, but you'd be making about $1 million in benefits as a result of your pension.
So I have a family member who is a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
And she worked in the Massachusetts school system as a psychiatrist, and towards the end of her retirement, she was grossing like $120,000 a year. And she, in her, as a retirement, just like cash is just deposited in her bank account is like $84,000 a year right now. And that's because she had a doctorate. So if you have a doctorate and you're working in a Massachusetts school system, you know, 10 years ago, you're $120,000 a year. And it probably doesn't matter what your doctorate is in. It could be in, you know, gender studies.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about Mass, and it might be different from one school district to another, too. But I know in New Jersey, like Clinton Township school districts, if you had basically a master's degree, the difference between a master's and a doctorate wasn't that much in terms of the pay difference, I guess, or the benefits that you receive. It's same kind of thing. It's absolutely crazy how much these teachers, make. And they always say, oh, they're in poverty and such, but that's not really the full picture. They're just not being paid during a period of the year in which they don't work, which is the summer, But they also, the benefits, the pensions more than make up for it. So it's very,
yeah, that's the whole big yeah. deal is about being a teacher is the pension.
It's very manipulative to say teachers are, you know, poor or they don't get paid enough and the same thing is true for like, law enforcement and such.
Firefighters.
I'm not so sure about firefighters, and I think it probably depends on where we're talking about.
So career, full-time, paid firefighters are different than volunteer firefighters.
Right, right. And that's just what I wanted to point out, because I think some of them are volunteers, and especially like small towns and things like that. So I don't want to lump them all into the same thing, and it's probably different in New York City than it is in, you know, New Hampshire, for example. When I was there, I got arrested in Manchester, and the guy who arrested me, I looked up his salary, and he was making $120,000 a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Absolutely insane. Absolutely insane.
The lying social workers in our situation, the supervisors, she was like...
Melissa Coombs?
No, her name's Colleen Subritz, the supervisor.
Hmm.
But she was basically at like almost 130,000 for like the 2020 or 2021 with her overtime and holiday pay.
Wow.
And then I forget what Coombs was at. Hers was pretty up there too, with, you know, a lot of overtime pay
You know, something I also want to point out is like some people might be thinking, oh, $120,000 is nothing today, but we're also talking about 5 years ago, and we're also talking about New Hampshire, not New York City. You know, mm-hmm. So the cost of living in New Hampshire is a fraction of what it is in New York City. I mean,
right.
A million-dollar place might go for $100,000, $150,000 here. You know,
yeah. So, and the other thing is like. You're talking about like some lady that's pencil pushing and coaching others on how to steal children, and then somebody else who's pencil pushing and pulling people over for driving too fast. Like, do they really deserve that much money?
Crimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, they really want to keep, you know, the thing going. So, for example, in Massachusetts, the registry cops were really aggressive about farm plates and dealer repair plates. And so a license plate for a farmer in Massachusetts, you could have one plate and you could run it on any truck you wanted. And it was like $20 a year for that plate. Dealer repair plates were like repair shops could have this special plate. It was, you know, like a couple $100 and you could run that plate on anything. Just slap it on any car and it's good. So if you were misusing that plate, the registry cops were super aggressive about targeting people who were running these farm plates. My dad used to run farm plates when I was a kid, and the cops were always harassing us. And what we had found out from a friend who was a state trooper is that they were told that what keeps their pension afloat is you writing tickets and not allowing people to get away with not having inspection stickers, not having, you know, with the misuse of license plates, because if they're misusing that plate and you take it away from them, now they have to register all their vehicles separately and pay a whole lot more money, which is going to increase your pension.
Well, 603-283-6160, there's always underlying reasons why people oppose freedom, and usually has to do with money. 603-283-6160. You can call in with whatever's on your mind. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunnyvae heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunnyvae heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunnyvae heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bae.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bae.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bae.com or just search for Sunnyvae heating pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunnyvae.
USA USA News. I'm Tim Berg. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says the Senate will vote next week on the National Security Supplemental Bill, which includes a bipartisan deal on border and immigration restrictions. Schumer saying the text of the agreement will be made public as soon as Friday or as late as Sunday, and that he plans to set up a vote on the legislation next week. President Biden is honoring the U.S. troops who were injured and lost their lives in an Iran-backed drone strike earlier this week. Three service members were killed while stationed at a U.S. military outpost in Jordan, and over 30 were injured. The president speaking at the yearly National Prayer Breakfast on Capitol Hill.
Jill and I will be at Dover Air Force Base to receive the dignified transfer of their bodies. They've raised their lives in harm's way. They risked it all. And we'll never forget the sacrifices and service to our country.
This is USA News.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in this free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call them toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
February is Heart Month, and every year, Extendivite has a sale. This year is no different. Extendivite is regularly $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply. In February, Extendivite is only $57.50 for a 2-month supply plus shipping and handling. Extendivite is a combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. These ingredients work synergistically to improve your overall health. So don't delay. Join the Extendivite family today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
That you can control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Jay,
and Chris.
So coming up here from February 11th to February 16th is Anarchapulco, which is the largest international freedom festival, from what I understand. And so it's going to be a gathering of a bunch of people in Acapulco, Mexico. They're going to be presenting talks and lectures and workshops about freedom. And also, if you're not able to make it, I wasn't aware of this till the other day, but you can go to anarchapulco.com, and at tickets, you can buy a ticket for essentially a virtual pass. So the whole thing will be streamed live, all of the presentations. I don't know about the workshops, but definitely all the presentations will be streamed live. And you will have unlimited access to those streams. and you can watch them over and over again. I don't know what the cost of it is. But if you do buy it, be sure to put coupon code J, that's J-A-Y, in so you can get a 10% discount. And I hope to see you guys there. I'm looking forward to it. There's a bunch of people going. Looks like it's going to be a good time.
Thank you, Jay. It sounds like it's going to be a good time. I've never been, but everybody I know who's been says that it is a good time, especially if you're an anarchist. So in the last couple segments, we were talking about this anti-democracy extremist list, and I did want to go over the fact that Aria and Ian are on it and why they're on it. It shows that their town of residence, Keene, and it says Aria de Mezzo, Liberty Alliance is her affiliation, they wrote. Rating endorsed by the Liberty Alliance. And then the reason, the verification for why she's on here, pled guilty to unlicensed money transaction business. God. They're so dumb. Transaction business, a money transaction business, on September 12th, 2022. And then,
how does that make you anti-democracy?
Extremist. Besides, she ran as the sheriff. She ran as a sheriff. And, like, that's democracy, right? So stupid.
Yeah.
She did expose how dumb democracy is by showing that Republicans will vote for the person with an R next to their name and not even do any research to find out that it's a redheaded, satanic, anarchist tranny.
Yep.
And then they get really mad that they voted for her.
Tim Pool brings that up quite a bit about voting.
Nice.
And this is more of like my why we should just have libertarians infiltrating the Democrat vote in heavily Democrat cities. Another thing that would do is it would make the Democrats spend a whole lot more money.
Yeah.
A whole lot more. And
obsession.
And all you got to spend is $2, and they got to spend like tons more, which is another good tactic.
And for Ian, they wrote, office thought NH Senate, which was a long time ago, but he did. Affiliation is kind of hilarious. They wrote FSP, so the Free State Project.
Free State Project, which has de-endorsed him? Or,
yeah, they like, never sent
him. Uninvited him.
Yeah, uninvited.
And then invited him again.
I find it humorous how
they never apologize.
They love, like, the left loves to play both sides. Well, he's part of the FSP, and other times when it's convenient, well, the FSP is, disendorsed him. And
right,
it's like,
that's a good point.
It's like, oh my God.
They wrote, other verification, they wrote, FSP watch ID'd. I guess they have something called the FSP watch. Convicted of money laundering and fraud. He was not convicted of fraud. Endorsed by We the People, which is, I think...
He wasn't even convicted of money laundering. He was... Well, because that was thrown out.
He was
convicted
of
a conspiracy, which is just means thinking about. And they didn't actually have any evidence that he was thinking about laundering money. But anyway.
It's ridiculous. There are other people on this list that the listeners would probably recognize. Here's Jeremy Kaufman. They wrote, a Free State board member who claimed... Democracy is a soft form of communism.
That exactly is. I call it the footsteps of, to communism. So first thing you get democracy, and then you have all of the parasites vote themselves a raise, and then you're living in socialism, and then socialism starts to fail, so they got to push harder. So now you go right into communism because... that's just basically the way it works. And then it all collapses and falls apart and you start all over again.
And I think that's just hilarious. And I'm glad they put that quote in there. They also have Carla Garrick on here. I just freaking lost her. Okay, there she is. Oh, wait, I lost it again. It says Liberty Alliance, NHLA. It says she's the head of the Mises Caucus, which I've actually heard there's no Mises Caucus in New Hampshire, but whatever. FSP board member, which, I mean, she's like the president. Like, these people are so bad at researching. They're terrible. And then they wrote, revolutionary espousing violence. That is terrible.
That must be referencing the NH exit stuff, but there's no violence stuff. Right. It's literally peaceful. In all of these amendments, right, that are being promoted, it literally has the word peaceful, declaration of peaceful independence. And nowhere does it declare war. And even if a war was declared, it wouldn't be by New Hampshire. It would make absolutely no sense for New Hampshire to declare war. New Hampshire is this tiny, itty-bitty state. It's 1.3, 1.4 million people. The United States is 330 million people. There is no chance that a violent revolution would work in New Hampshire.
So if you have a woman who's being battered by her husband, and then the woman files for divorce, then that's going to result in more violence, and the woman knows that she's going to get beat if she files for divorce, so therefore she's being violent. It's basically the equivalent that these guys are making by stating that Carla is calling for violence.
Carla goes and testifies. I've seen her testify at least twice for independence-related bills, and I've seen her speak at Liberty Forum about NHX about New Hampshire seceding. She makes a point every single time to say, and we are not the ones who want to be violent. We want to do this peacefully. We are asking for this to be done in a way that will be peaceful.
We're using the democratic process to ask for independence.
And that's another thing she always brings up. She always says, like, if you've ever said anything like, oh, I believe in democracy, if you're a leftist, you need to vote for this because you need to let the people vote on this constitutional amendment.
Right. With the constitutional amendments, the people get to vote on them. So the way you put out a constitutional amendment in New Hampshire is you have to get your reps. You can't just get signatures. You have to get your reps to propose that. And then the legislature gets to vote. And if the legislator votes yes for your amendment, your constitutional amendment, it doesn't become a constitutional amendment. It goes to the people for a vote. So.
It's just, it's all ridiculous. I don't really see anyone just really quickly covering, oh, Reid Coverdale, he used to be a host of this show. They have him on here for NH Libertarian Party committee member and also FSP Twitter, just tweeting from the FSP's website. He used to be a host of this show as well. But it's surprising they don't have a lot of people on there that it seems that they kind of should have. Oh, here's Leah Cushman. Jay knows her. She is the NH Liberty Alliance A-plus rated state rep. But I also found on Granite State Matters website an article that was written just yesterday. And it's written by Jean, is that, I think, how you say that? If not Jean, G-E-A-N-N-E, Deitch, which is D-I-E-T-S-H. So she wrote this, and it says, extremists are taking over New Hampshire. It says, while you weren't looking, groups called the Free State Project and the Liberty Alliance. It's not even just called that, but okay. These people are sloppy. These people are lazy.
Oh, very. They once put a picture of Bob up. I think it was when he ran. It might have been the mayor, some sort of mayoral picture, and they put that up as Rich Paul when they were condemning Rich Paul for like the whole crypto thing. It was like you don't even have the right picture here. It was pretty funny.
They're lazy because these are the kind of people that do this stuff that are career parasites generally. They're the kind of people who want guns pointed at the productive so they don't have to do anything so they can be taken care of. I'll bet you whoever's involved with this is probably a beneficiary of some government, type pension fund. And I can tell you right now, if the Free State... The motto of the Free State Project is to reduce government to its maximum authority, is that it can only protect life, liberty, and property. And if that's the only purpose of government, all of these pension funds would fail right now.
Yeah, but all these people will be out of a pencil-pushing job.
Well, good.
You know,
too.
You know what's interesting, too, is like people say, well, don't you want what they would probably say are stupid people to be educated? And, it's not that we don't want people to get an education or to learn something, right? It's that they're not learning something is part of the problem, right?
Yeah, the public school systems aren't meant for learning. They're meant for indoctrination.
Right. It's just another indoctrination program. But the teachers wouldn't be, or people who wanted to get into teaching or people who were teachers wouldn't necessarily be out of a job anyway, because it's not like, if the state stopped funding education, that nobody would want to educate their kids. They would just be receiving or keeping more of their own money and paying for it themselves, as opposed to having this increased cost because, every time the government gets involved, the costs go up because there's a certain amount of waste involved in the processes that, do things like fund schools. So
Yeah, so like the Croydon bill there, what I forgot to mention is the reality of cutting any school budget in New Hampshire by 50% would leave $0 for the school. So you wouldn't be able to buy a single pencil. You wouldn't be able to buy any chalk. You wouldn't
and
be able
is that because it costs more than that amount of money to educate children, or is it because they made it to where you have to pay the pensions first?
Yes, the first thing that is serviced is the pensions. Mm-hmm. And from what I can tell, and please, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, maybe Skeeter has the answer for this. He'll call in, you know, in a month or so, and he'll tell me all about it.
And he'll say you're a liar.
Like 80% of the money that is paid for the school, you know, paid that is goes to the schools, just goes to the budgets. So this is why they're constantly complaining about how the services are terrible, the roads are terrible, the infrastructure is terrible, you know, there's not enough money for the teachers. And, yeah, I mean, these teachers are making, like, somebody was going to go be a teacher, they were telling me, and they're going to get, like, $18 an hour, and, you know, they got, you know, this $400 a month student loan, and it's going to cost them $2,000 a month for an apartment or something. They're like, I can't, you know, I make more money, you know, serving sushi or whatever. And but the thing is, this pension, this unfunded liabilities, go to nationaldebtclock.com and just look at unfunded liabilities, what that is. It's like $375 trillion or something stupid. And that's just for federal employees. That's not any state or anything else. But this is the pensions are a scam, and it's all going to collapse.
You know what else is an interesting statistic? Is if you look at what teachers were making in the 1960s and compare it to today, and if you take inflation into account, they're making 20 times what they were in the 1960s.
Yeah, well, in the 1960s, you know, a teacher's job was quite literally for an empty nest mom that was just looking for something to do, really.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really supposed to be this career thing. I make my whole career out of it.
Hmm.
And also in the 1960s, you know, 1950s, it was really easy for a dad to go to work like 40 hours a week, pay for the house, pay for all the food, pay for the car, pay for a couple of vacations, have a nice life, you know, raise 6, 7, 8, 9, whatever kids, and mom could stay home, be a stay-at-home mom, and then it got to the point to where mom wanted something to do because she was bored and she'd been raising kids and the kids are gone. Well, that all changed with, you know, the whole feminism movement, putting the women in the workplace.
And inflation is just not like...
And drove the price of drove wages way down because now men had to compete with women, and then they put the kids in the public schools, and then with these public schools have been brainwashing and indoctrinating these kids. You know, Malcolm X, one of my favorite quotes is, only a fool would let his kid be educated by his enemies. And anytime these Republican guys, like, you know, that I know of are conservatives or so-called libertarians are like, oh, yeah, my kid came home from school because of this, this, and this. I'm like, what is wrong with you? Why would you let your kid go to school? You know,
I can't imagine that either. Like, if I had kids, there'd be no way I'd put them in government school.
You hate your children if you're sending them to a government, to public school, is really the bottom line.
I understand sending your kids to something like a private school that you agree with what they're teaching and everything. And that might be like a sweet spot. Like, you know, they have like lots of things to, you know, do and maybe you have to work. But I don't understand sending your kids to public school. It's just like the place where they're most likely to encounter violence and bullying in their life.
And get shot.
Yeah. It's just a terrible thing to do to your kids. I don't understand why anyone would
do it. Get exposed to drugs, get prescribed SSRI drugs by the, you know, the school psychiatrist who, you know, has some kind of incentive to, you know, prescribe these things and push these things.
I mean, I'm a pretty good kid. I was a pretty good kid, is what I meant to say, but, like, for a while, like, the main reason I wanted to go to school was to, like, buy Percocet and Adderall and, like, do all these drugs. I was like, I love drugs! Like, and I didn't go to school in the ghetto.
And the more kids that you have that are on, like, the government-approved, you know, head meds, you know, these SSRIs that they're putting the kids on, if you guys start looking into this Social Security Administration Title IV program... So Title IV A and E is where like DCYF, you know, Child Protective Services gets money, but there's also federal money for school districts for kids that are, you know, put in this classification where they need medicine, where they need meds while in school, and if they're put on like psychological meds, and also if they're like now special needs, and these school districts all love that money, so they have an incentive to essentially be doping up your kids. And you know, when you know these SSRIs, for example, they are extremely dangerous, and they when it comes to these kids doing crazy stuff like showing up to places or people in general, they've been on those drugs. With the mass shootings and things like that, they've been on those drugs, and when you come off those drugs, you are not right.
I'm really on like a kick of serotonin is really bad right now. If you read Ray Peet's, his name is Ray, and his last name is Peet, P-E-A-T, article that he wrote about serotonin being a filter for the brain. Basically, when you take LSD, LSD kicks out the serotonin and your brain becomes unfiltered. You see the things that you would normally see that your brain is all day filtering out. And it makes you, serotonin, makes you more of a person who's likely to accept tyranny, likely to go become violent because you just, like, you don't care. I think serotonin is a really bad thing.
Are you saying like synthetic serotonin?
No,
or?
Like being serotonin dominant in your brain in general. Like, yeah, the synthetic serotonin. Well, I don't know if it's synthetic. It's just that it is a reuptake inhibitor. So your brain doesn't like flush it out. Your brain just keeps a lot of it in there.
Oh, all right,
when you're on SSRIs. So anytime, but you cannot be on SSRIs and still have too much serotonin in your gut and brain. And it makes you more likely to be just a passive person. And more likely to accept statism, I think. And I think it's more of what causes, like, the soy boy thing we see than even soy. But
sounds like fluoride might have a component in this, too. You know, that makes you docile and, you know, less likely to...
Yeah.
And more
it's
compliant.
Another filter-type thing in your brain. It's a thing that acts like a filter in your brain for reality. So... this lady wrote this article saying extremists are taking over New Hampshire.
I love how the picture is the classic picture of a whole bunch of government funded, you know, I would say those are feds right there.
Yeah.
All those guys in that picture.
Covering their faces and holding, I don't know what kind of gun that is, and wearing body armor, trying to look scary. They're holding a Don't Tread on Me shirt. And those are not Liberty Alliance or Free State Project people. Like, I don't recognize any of them.
Yeah, those are agent provocateurs.
Yep.
Either ones that are direct agent provocateurs that are actual, like, probably FBI agents or confidential agents, or they're just idiots just trying to be, you know, influenced to be like that somehow.
Yeah.
I'm curious if you did a reverse search on the image, if you would come up with some sort of KKK site.
If I have
as opposed to, like, a libertarian
site.
Who,
I had a story up about, you know, those people who went and did a Nazi salute outside of a drag show in Concord, like, a year ago? Well, they're getting charged with something. It's kind of a mess up that they're getting charged for anything. All they did was do a Nazi salute outside of a place where there was going to be a drag queen story hour. Like,
so why would that be a crime?
It shouldn't be a crime at all. But that's what these people look like. I feel like those are the same people. Those are not free staters. And I would love to do, like, reverse search, but I just can't do that quickly. But it's just also, like, these people are so lazy. Like, they don't have any kind of, like, caption on it. They don't have any kind of, like, text that pops up when you leave your hand on the picture. It's like, this one guy's wearing a gas mask. It's so stupid.
Right, and there's at least three people or two people in that picture that could be totally identified. Hmm. And they could be like, oh, this guy is so-and-so, you know, because their face isn't covered.
Right.
And, you know...
it is in New Hampshire because it's in front of the State House.
Well, I mean, that could be Photoshop too, but yeah, but yeah, there's definitely Asian provocateurs showing up, looking to do stuff, you know, looking to, you know, make things look bad. And the best way to try to notice if there was Asian provocateurs is pay attention to boots. The boots that they're wearing. Usually,
do they,
like,
look really clean? Or?
Well, usually there's like a special type. If a bunch of these guys are wearing the same exact footwear, it is quite likely they're government military issued.
Yeah, you know what kind of stands out to me is all the military fatigue. I haven't really seen that. I've seen people, like, I've seen a lot of, guns, but not like military fatigues. Like,
yeah,
that.
They wouldn't be interested
in
that.
Yeah, that definitely seems to suggest it's probably more of a right wing Republican militia kind of.
Right.
Kind of racism.
I don't know any
kinda,
free staters that like the military.
Yeah, I mean, free staters are definitely not, you know, pro-military. They're not going to be, you know, running around in fatigues.
They're way more anti-war than the leftists who wrote this.
Right. This is what I'm saying. Like, these left-wing, you know, Democrats don't understand what a libertarian is, right?
Right.
Like, it kind of stands out as this is really bizarre. If these people were claiming to be libertarian, they would really stand out in our crowd.
Yeah, they'd be ostracized. probably.
I mean, I don't know if they'd be ostracized.
Definitely the Nazi salute ones.
Well, oh, sure, but no, they never claimed to be libertarians.
No, they didn't.
I don't think we've had, I think Cantwell is probably the only one that went, well, maybe there's been another person.
He denounced libertarianism whenever
he
came in office.
But he wasn't, he said he was a libertarian, and then he wasn't a libertarian anymore, and he endorsed violence, but that wasn't, that's not... That's like, that's super rare.
Yeah, one out of how many?
I don't know how many of those people who have done that have been, as you say, provocateurs or something of that nature. I know there's been some other provocateur types that didn't go in that direction, but they clearly were here for maybe a year, kind of got involved in everything they could, kind of spied on us, that sort of thing, and then tried to create fight infighting in between, you know, different people by, you know, lying to different people saying, oh, did you hear what so-and-so said about you?
Wow.
And they didn't, but that's the kind of thing that they do in order to try and create conflict and cause people to leave, you know, leave the group or leave New Hampshire. So
several times I've observed somebody... well, not maybe not directly observed it, but somebody made a statement that they uttered it. It was a fact about somebody doing violence to somebody else, or like, you know, somebody, you know, beating their spouse or something. And then and I've just seen this multiple times. You know, oh, so and so said this slur word, or so and so hates, you know, whatever, or said this about you. I can remember this in high school going on. I was in a truck pulling club, and there was like the clique of people in a truck pulling club that were like a little that wanted to get rid of somebody so they would create a rumor.
Wow.
But with a lot of these like clubs, for example, the truck pulling club and like the Free State Movement and like even people who just come to Pork Fest, the people who have generally like said like these lies, like put these things out there to try to like discredit somebody or get somebody kicked out or make lives miserable for somebody, usually end up getting found out about and sort of just going away or quietly disappearing, or like, and nobody hears from them anymore. And I've just, that's just happened like every couple years. I've noticed like something like that happen.
Fed behavior.
Yeah, it does. Yes.
I mean, there's definitely a bit of Fed behavior in New Hampshire because they don't like us.
Another way to identify a Fed is generally it goes like this, is my observation. When a Fed first comes around, they're the first one to help. They are the superstar volunteer. They're bringing everybody donuts. They're bringing everybody a box of Joe. They're really helping. They're really useful.
I was just saying to my friend yesterday, I was like, I'm always suspicious of these types of people who are like, I'm getting myself out there. I don't know. I just, something about my personality is really anti this, like, female, extremely over-socializing, getting myself out there personality. You know, and that might just be a me thing, but...
You know what else I've noticed? At least about one person that was probably a Fed, he got angry when we weren't doing stuff that was, like, violent, because their expectation is that we're violent when we're not.
Well, just this last little sentence here, she said that the utopia that the Free State Project wants to do demands the abolition of public schools, Social Security, the post office, the Environmental Protection Agency. Yay, that all sounds awesome. This has been Free Talk Live. You can check out more at freetalklive.com. Thanks for listening. Peace.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation taxation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the Legal Helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.